I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I'm here in the Steven Universe Writers Room at Cartoon Network Studios in Burbank, California. So you know what that means. It's time for another episode of the Steven Universe Podcast. And today, we're talking to the Steven Universe designers. These are the members of the Crooniverse responsible for the look, style, and color of the show. So we're going to talk to art director Liz Artinian and lead background designer Steven Sugar. We'll also talk to background designers Jane Bach and Mary Nash, and colorist Efren Farias. And we'll have Danny Hines, Andrew Wang, and Alethro Manilos, who do the early design work for the episodes. We're going to discover what real-life places and objects inspired the look of the show and the characters, and we're also going to find out which episodes were their favorites to create and which were a little more challenging to do. And starting us off, I've got designers Danny Hines, Alethro Manilos, and Angie Wang. Thanks for joining us, and can you tell us what your jobs are officially?
Danny Hines. My job is lead character designer.
Cool.
On Steven.
Angie Wang. My job is prop and effects designer.
Mm-hmm. Alethro Manilos. I'm character designer.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So just tell us, like, for someone who doesn't know anything about character prop design, for example, me, can you give us the fundamentals for how to make a good design?
That's a topic that takes hours to cover.
Gotcha. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. Do you have a short version?
The short version is you get the storyboard, you count up how many new characters, props and effects being anything that moves that isn't a character. How many exist in the board, and then you have to design them all as fast as possible.
Yeah.
To the highest level of quality that you can bring.
I will say that I contributed to character designs for the pilot, and I did not do a very good job because I didn't know what was animatable. So there are clearly unsaid rules, but I don't know what those rules are.
You just don't.
That's
I
a
hear
big
that.
Thing. Making. I mean, I guess if we're going like rules, like fundamental rules, it's one of the big ones. Just like what's animatable. So
right.
That's yeah.
Good shapes.
That's
making
the
it yeah.
Concern.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Easy for the studio, basically.
Yeah, basically you want to describe as much as possible with as few lines as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And to whatever degree you can, you want the choices that you make to explain themselves to anybody who looks at it. So it's easily repeatable and animatable.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And at the same time, staying on with the show. I don't know.
And then it has to live within the parameters of whatever you've decided.
Right,
for so that's, the show that you're on.
That's why it's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you apply that to Steven Universe then?
Oh, Steven was, in a way, it was like really pure design, or really like it was all the rules kind of amplified. Like mm-hmm. We were really, really strict about simplicity and cutting anything out that didn't need to exist. One example is overlap lines. You know, if a piece of hair is overlapping another piece of hair, any we would delete the tail, the bit of the line that comes inside of that main outline.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we wanted to reduce the amount of lines that we needed to communicate what the show was. And that was throughout all props and effects.
Gotcha.
And mm-hmm. character.
Yeah, how does that reflect in, like, when you're making effects and stuff?
Danny gave the direction pretty early on that effects are sort of should be very directional.
Mm-hmm.
They're also governed by our shape language, which is sort of like I don't know that it's really unsaid, but it's something that you kind of have to get the feel for, the exact curve that we use.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very specific curve.
Yeah.
And a very specific sort of angle that we use that curve on. And so you can just kind of see that in all of the effects and in the props as well. As well as like a philosophy of specificity. We were using this idea of specificity to guide at least the prop designs.
And characters.
That they shouldn't be, for example, like no box of cereal should just be cereal box. It should be sort of like maybe a cereal box that you remember from your childhood, or
gotcha.
Something specific that you can think of or point to, or that you would actually recognize as a real thing in the world.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you have any examples of that, of stuff that like made it in?
Well, for me personally, I remember Rebecca pointing this out specifically. There was a fry container in an episode, and when I did it, I was thinking about like the fries that I used to get at the county fair, mm-hmm. and they come in that little box that's got the red stripes on it, the red like kind of like tart plaid pattern, and then like with the crinkly paper, and then you've got the fries. And I was thinking of that when I designed it, and then Rebecca was like, "This is exactly what I mean when I say I want specificity, because you know when you look at that, you know exactly what kind of fry container that is. It's immediate. It's very, and it brings back sort of a rush of memory or like place,
right?
And especially when you're striving for so much simplicity, it'd be very easy for everything to become incredibly generic, and for things to blend together. You know, a poorly drawn cereal box could look just like a cardboard box or like an Amazon shipping box. But what makes an Amazon box very specific is that stripe of Amazon Prime tape put on everything. Like if we, you know, if something had just gotten shipped to Steven, that would be the kind of detail that we'd look for. Because otherwise, it's just rectangles. You've got nothing to hang your hat on. And yes, simplicity and specificity are probably the two most important. And having them work in fusion is probably the most important.
I know the biggest thing for me is always, or like I picked that up with someone, we were doing shoes. Every time there was like shoes, like you would approach shoes and be like, oh, it's a shoe. But then when you actually like get into the detail, you're like, no, there's a specific shape to each one that makes it like a loafer, a sneaker, a special, and like figure out those lines, and the simplicity of those lines is really define what it is, and it's the biggest thing.
So many cartoon characters have had Looney Tunes Converse since, you know, you got to draw
for
real
all
sneakers. Vans look different than Converse, look different than Nikes. You know, everything in the world is specific, and it's all made up of roughly the same stuff. You know, a shoe's the shape of a foot, but the specific ways that the fabric wraps around to make that shoe is what makes it the shoe that it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, cool. What have been your favorite designs to contribute to?
Oh, Mr. Smiley is always an important character for me because early on he was the first character where I think we felt like we did something on show.
Gotcha.
Everything else up to that point had been kind of exploration, but we still hadn't drawn, even Steven hadn't been drawn, you know, on show style.
So Mr. Smiley was the first character in the show that you ever were like, yes.
Once we really solved what on show meant, I think we maybe left Mr. Smiley behind a little bit.
Gotcha.
But he was the first big mile marker for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For me, I really like putting Easter eggs in the show. Oh. Like there's a, and then having people pick up on it. Mm-hmm. There's a cosmic engagement box that's actually a reference to the board game Cosmic Encounter, and a bunch of people from the Steven Universe subreddit or on Tumblr recognized it, and they were like, "Oh my God, that's Cosmic Encounter!" And it's kind of nice to sneak that stuff through a little bit.
Yeah, I can imagine. That would be fun.
I used to do boards on the show, and one of my first I guess contributions to it was Lion. I helped with the concept on that.
Gotcha.
But that was like a lot of us just throwing in ideas, and then since I was boarding on it, Rebecca had like a specific idea for going like a Tezuka route, and I kind of just dug into like pulling a lot of Tezuka stuff out. And
Alth was kind of the first person to lock into what Lion is now, and then we all kind of followed his lead from there.
Gotcha. Because I remember, like, Lion had a very different design at first, right?
It was a lot of exploration. All the other stuff before.
Yeah,
was...
there is a tiger in the pilot.
Oh yeah,
that has a totally anatomical kind of treatment. It's gorgeous, but it just ended up not being simple enough.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then I mean the art book chose it now, but like Guy Davis had like dip his version.
That's
and
we, right.
I mean, a lot of our designs is like us sitting in a room, just being like, new character, and like, okay, everyone, what are the main ideas for it? And we all kind of just start throwing out ideas for what it is, and then we kind of find a direction, and then we try to define it from there.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, I have to add to this because I'm proud of this. The roving eye spaceship.
Oh yeah.
That propels itself by emitting a tiny black hole. Joe Johnston and I kind of like came up with that in one of those meetings and got really excited by it. And the idea was is that the roving eye is like a microphone. Microphones can I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this, but in an audio class once a teacher taught me that microphones take noise canceling headphones, I'm sorry, will take the audio information and then invert it to cancel it out. So my idea was that the ship would emit a black hole and then it would invert the gravity waves between itself and the black hole to cancel them out so that it wouldn't be sucked into the black hole and that it could then be propelled by the black hole. And then one of the fans on Tumblr found the exact actual scientific, because, you know, I'm a Luddite. I just like to watch NOVA documentaries. But they found the exact, like, scientific theory and everything that went along with it. And that was really cool to add to the canon of spaceships.
I remember the exact, like, post you're talking about. So, like, you guys saw that afterwards and you were like, yes, that's what we were doing.
Exactly. It was really exciting.
That's awesome. So, which designs when you were coming up with them were the most like challenging for you guys?
Every time there's a new character, every time there's a new gem, every time there's a new fusion, that's like the next mountain. Or like I was like when I was saying with Lion, like every time there's a new character, it's just like, okay, new character writing the show. What do we want? What are their main like themes or ideas that define them? And then like it's like everyone's just like digging to try to find this idea.
There's no throwaways in Steven Universe. There's no like, oh, that character doesn't matter and we'll never see them again. Yeah, everything had to meet the same standard of reality. Mm-hmm. And we wanted the world to be totally immersive, so everything has to be thought about to that level. So, yeah, everything is difficult. But I did 3 or 4 full turnarounds of the mains when we were starting before.
You mean like before, the core, like
Of Steven, Amethyst, Garnet, and Pearl. Yeah. I did them like 4 times before we got to what actual show style was. That was really, really difficult. That was. Yellow Diamond was hard too, but. Yeah, that was the toughest, I think.
And you did it again.
Just getting the mains. Yeah.
Oh, honestly, my answer for this is really boring. The easy designs are things like debris. Hard designs are things like the arm ships. Just 100% complexity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gotta go.
Thank you so much, Danny, for designing that original hand ship.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So just takeaways, what have you guys learned from working on Steven?
I think the big thing for me was how if you reach for something even a little kind of impossible and you have good people around you, supportive people, and I mean this crew was amazing, you can really surprise yourself how far you can go and what you can achieve and the level of quality that you can bring out of yourself. It's been really inspirational to work on this show.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in and talking to me.
Yeah. Thanks for
having us.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
And now that we know about the design process for Steven Universe, let's find out about the backgrounds and colors of the show with Mary Nash, Jane Bach, and Efren Farias. They'll share some of the real-life references that show up in the episodes and what it takes to create backdrops ranging from Beach City to Homeworld. Mary, Jane, and Efren are coming up next.
Oh man, love that Steven Universe. Hey, my name is Casey Jost.
And I'm James McCarthy.
And we do the official Impractical Jokers podcast. If you're a fan of Impractical Jokers, then get a deep dive into the episodes with the official Impractical Jokers podcast.
It's out of this world.
Like Steven Universe. Nice. High five.
All right, I'm here with Mary, Jane, and Efren. How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for being here.
Howdy.
So can I just start and ask, just clear up, what's your jobs on the show? Want to start with you, Efren?
Yeah, I'm a color stylist.
Okay, cool. So what's that mean?
I get to color props, a lot of the models, like props, effects, and characters.
Got you.
I come up with the palettes and stuff based off the backgrounds that I get.
Got you. Color theory. I do not know anything about it. It's very intimidating to me.
It's fun.
It seems fun. I feel like it would be fun if I knew anything about it. Okay, cool. So let's just go down the line. Yeah?
I'm a background designer.
Yeah.
I draw the backgrounds. Okay, cool. Yeah, sounds good.
That was Mary.
Yes, hi, I'm Mary.
Okay, cool, cool. Sorry. Jane, what do you do?
I do the same thing Mary does.
Got you. So you guys both do the black and white lines. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And beautiful, awesome. Complicated black and white.
Yeah.
Very
proud.
Nice.
Proud.
So nice. So kind.
Okay, so like, what's like a usual normal day for you guys?
Usually I like go on the server. I try to see like what work I have. I'll look at see if there's any palettes, like any new backgrounds, and I'll start keying off characters based off the palettes mm-hmm. that I get. Yeah.
Usually I will start with a storyboard panel, and then from there do a rough to kind of flesh out where everything will be, and then once that's approved, mm-hmm. we'll go on to final line.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So what was your background in art before you guys started working on Steven Universe?
For me, I worked in social games before.
Oh, so, cool. Yeah. So
kind of like Farmville
right,
style.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like a lot of those Facebook games. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it took me a while to get into animation, but I worked at some smaller studios, actually with a lot of Flash.
Oh, nice.
And then I moved on to Photoshop and working at Cartoon Network.
So gotcha. You started with Flash?
Yeah, I started with Flash.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of backgrounds done in Flash because the animation was being done in Flash. Uh-huh. So it was a lot easier to have the backgrounds there. Whoa. And you can just put them right in.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I was a recent grad. Like I graduated in 2015, and then
gotcha.
I think 8 months later, I got hired here.
Wow! So you just like fresh out of
yeah
what did you do school?
I went to the Rhode Island School of Design,
oh,
which is RISD.
Cool. Yeah, awesome.
RISD. How long were you there for?
I was there for the entire 4 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
I you know started 2011, came like finished in 2015, and then 8 months later, like I got like a thing that's just like, hey, you want to test for Steven Universe? Like, heck yeah.
That's awesome.
And then did some freelance and then got hired full time.
That's awesome. Nice. So what was the first episode that you worked on?
Oh, God. What was it? It was, oh, gosh. Gem Hunt, I think. And
Gem,
it's,
oh, wow.
Gem
that's
Hunt.
Pretty
that was
recent.
The first,
yeah,
it was, oh, man. I don't remember when it aired, like last year.
I don't remember. I feel like it was part of the summer of Steven, maybe.
It might have been, but that was my first episode. And looking back, I'm just horrified.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, as per the norm.
It's one of my favorite episodes,
oh,
actually.
Great,
yeah,
great.
I love that one.
Great.
So then, what's been your favorite episode to work on overall?
Ooh, that's tough.
That has come out, obviously. You know,
like, well, The Good Lars is definitely one of my favorites.
Oh yeah,
I don't know why. It's just simple and interiors and just you know, basic props. But I really liked working on it. And then the rest are just haven't aired yet, so I can't.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was the Bismuth episodes.
Classic.
Coming up with like Colors for Bismuth was pretty fun.
Yeah, the rainbow.
Yeah, that rainbow hair was like
true.
Giving me a hard time. Yeah.
I really enjoyed working on last one out of Beach City.
Oh yes.
Oh, that was a nice one.
The backgrounds weren't really that crazy, but had one time on it, and I was like,
that initial D feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
and
nice.
It's like it's one of those rare episodes where we all, like me, Steven, and you work on
Yeah, we
episode.
All worked on it together. It was really fun.
Yeah, it's a good collab. We should do more.
Please. It's a classic episode. Unforgettable. Unforgettable, truly. What kind of episodes are like, what kind of stuff presents a challenge for you guys? Like, when you see that episode has blank, you're like, oh no.
When it has new stuff in
new
it.
Locations,
new stuff.
No reuses.
Right.
Because that just means more work for us.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of design, but just more in like content to create.
Yeah.
Which is always
Gem Hunt was like that, right? Wasn't it? Because we'd never seen the
Gem Hunt was one of them, but like things like the zoo arc.
Yeah, the zoo arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, or definitely
completely
one of
all brand new stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds stressful. So what kind of stuff do you have to, for someone who, so say someone wants to like draw in the Steven Universe background style or whatever, what are the characteristics of the style?
I think it's kind of graphic looking.
Yeah.
Shapes, a lot of shapes, like shape language is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of the effects, what I think is cool about the effects, like how much thought goes into them, like they actually have like a direction that they flow in.
Right.
You know, it feels like the show kind of has like a directional feel.
Yeah,
like a lot
like
of
the clouds
shapes.
Are all kind of mm-hmm.
Yeah,
angled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think those are all pretty cool. Mm,
even.
You guys want to add to that?
Yeah, like I know what you mean by directional because even in the background paints, the lights are directional. Like,
yeah.
There's like an off-register thing that happens that people notice, but mm-hmm. it usually is in the direction where the light is coming from.
Right.
So
it
looks
offset. Same thing happens in the background paint.
Right,
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. kind of offset a little depending where the mm-hmm. light's coming from.
Yeah. I think we're trying to recreate real life, but then simplifying it, mm-hmm. I think is really key. So everything feels very real. There's a lot of perspective, mm-hmm. but then mm-hmm. also will... I don't know, kind of fudge it to make it work better.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we do reference real things. Yeah. Like we look at real props, real mm-hmm. like photos of places like real beaches and houses.
Yeah. Gotcha. And it's specific items. So it's not just like, this is a real house. It's like, mm-hmm. this is a house that I've been to.
Yeah.
So it's more personal. Like mm-hmm. it's not like, there have been a few things that I've put in backgrounds. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have this in my house. This is mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just like a soap dish. It's like the soap dish I painted when I was a kid.
It is the soap dish.
Yeah.
Like there's like a shower thing that holds all the shampoo. I'm just like, I have that. Yeah. And I didn't even design that.
Yeah.
It was Mary.
So like that works a lot for like, you know, if you're drawing a house or whatever, but mm-hmm. what about when you have to draw like gem stuff, like the zoo arc you talked about? Cause you can't, this reminds me of that one time when I went to a human zoo and you know, like that's not a thing that you can reference, you know,
you can reference a lot of like, I don't know, like church architecture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have a lot of that, like kind of repeating patterns, and there's a lot of detail. Mm. So I was looking at a lot of Muslim, like tile work when I was working on the zoo.
Those are nice.
Yeah, it was super beautiful.
Yeah.
So a lot of like more
geometric patterns.
Geometric patterns. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like for gem structures, it's mainly just geometry and patterns and mm-hmm. simple shapes, like simple polygons, and that's what we base pretty much all gem structures make sure it's like as much of
very
a departure
geometric.
Of a departure from like man-made stuff as possible because it feels less organic and less human.
Yeah,
that's what makes them gems.
Perfection.
Right
Color wise, like just try to make it look magical, I guess.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like for me, I take a lot of inspiration from like Zelda games, mm-hmm. you know, like Nintendo games, Mario.
Classic.
Just whatever makes it look magical. But there are things that like for me too, I'll also take things from the real world and then try to like say if like it's a color like brown, instead of brown, I'll try to use like purple or something.
Yeah.
Or like mm-hmm. the grass, like, you know, like those kind of principles like kind of apply to the show, but not really. It's like grass is green in the real world, but grass is blue in the show or something, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Color theory. So
color theory. But basically kind of like the same thinking as like it seems like with the BG layout too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What's it like working, because you guys have to work with the other like different like board artists and stuff, and you have to go off of, because like the board artists will like sketch out a general background of what they are thinking, and then mm-hmm. you guys have to go based off of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's it like collaborating? Is it ever like difficult to do that?
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's very lucky when we like get, when they actually plan it out and they put boxes or like, oh, mm-hmm. here's where the building, the sidewalk, mm-hmm. whatever. I think that's when we're like, oh, this is the most easy to read, easy to translate from like the storyboard to an actual functional layout. But mm-hmm. when it's just horizontal lines, then we have to kind of map out where the angle is and like where the character is and mm-hmm. where all the other objects are around. So we make sure that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah. Those this, are, yeah.
This is where
a lot
of the
staging going on.
Yeah.
This is where there's a lot of the fudged perspective. We just kind of have to match it.
Yeah. Whatever works right for the scene.
It usually just works fine because the characters solidify the fudge perspective, so it works like totally fine. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So one thing I'm wondering is, what kind of stuff have you learned from working on the show, like overall?
For me, it's
pretty deep.
Yeah, that is pretty deep. I think like working with like Jasmine, Ellie, and like my previous art directors, it was like, of course, just like a little more Photoshop tricks, but a lot of like don't be afraid to experiment with color. You know, if it looks pleasing, then it's probably pleasing. Yeah. So just, I go more a little more by like intuitional sense. So like, yeah, just, you know, like it is nice to like have like color theory in mind and stuff, but, just if it looks nice, then it probably is nice.
Right. Yeah.
I think I just became a better artist in general, just being adaptable and trying to translate things and design things well, which is always
those
like
backgrounds though.
I mean, like, yeah. I feel like we see the progress really easily if you look from like, you know, from
the
where
older
we
episodes.
Started.
Yeah.
It's always like that, but that's definitely like I just improved. I'm just I'm happy to have improved.
Steven's dream. Yeah. That Steven's dream episode with all those like Korean locations.
Oh my god, yeah. Those really fun.
Those were crazy. That was my favorite for the background layout. Yeah, I was like, oh man.
Oh yeah, I did that one.
Those were crazy.
Yeah, no,
those were nice.
She did the Korea shots where they're doing all the buildings.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The buildings and when they're traveling around, like the little montage.
Yeah.
Love that. So what kind of tips would you guys give to people who are artists who want to be in this industry?
Say if you want to do like backgrounds or something, try to put as much background work as you can.
Yeah.
Online. Yeah.
Or else you're going to, if you just have props or something, they're going to cast you for.
Right. Props. Exactly. Like, yeah. So I think try to focus on what you want to do and just put it out on the internet and update frequently. I think updating frequently helps a lot because it definitely catches people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes recruiters will be like, you know, looking online too, and they might catch wind of you that way. Yeah. I feel like. I don't know if you guys want to add to that.
I would say really draw what you like because I've spent really long time drawing what I thought other people would like.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not get me anywhere because I wasn't having fun and it
and
showed
your heart's
in my
not
heart.
In it. Yeah. So I feel like the stuff you have fun with like reflects on your art.
Right.
I mean, that's basically why I got how I got hired. Like Josh drawing a lot.
Yeah.
Drawing, posting a lot, and then drawing what I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And make sure, I feel like it's important to just take breaks. Like,
that's also important.
I feel like there's always this like kind of need to be like, oh, I have to get hired tomorrow, or like I have to keep drawing every day or whatever, or else I won't improve. But I feel like it's important to be like, oh, take that moment to breathe, go outside, like take a walk, go to the park, hang out with friends, go watch movies, whatever. And that really, really helps with the whole. What do you guys say?
Like drawing mental health?
Mental health. What you like. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, because like if you're not taking breaks and stuff and you're feeling like worn down, then I feel like that would also bleed into your art.
Yeah. You don't want your art to feel as miserable as you.
Right. Exactly.
Not to be a downer, but yeah, it's always good to have like good positive vibes. And even if you don't force yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's important.
Yeah, just come back to it later.
I would say have some other hobbies as well.
Yeah.
Creative hobbies that aren't drawing.
Another outlet.
Yeah.
Creators don't want to be like, is this a cry for help?
No, it's more of like what we learned and we're telling you what we learned.
We've
grown.
Boundaries.
Adults. Like hygiene, you know, basic stuff.
Very important.
Right.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much for talking to me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up next, I've got art director Liz Artinian and lead background designer Steven Sugar, and they'll fill us in on the design philosophies and rules for Steven Universe, and which episode may have been inspired by a classic video game.
Watch out, Doc.
What's up is that Boomerang is the best place for kids and parents to watch their favorite cartoons.
Zoinks!
And Boomerang is the only place for Scooby-Doo.
Anybody have a Scooby snack?
Looney Tunes.
Duck season.
And so much more.
Well, that don't beat all.
Just go to boomerang.com or download the app to start your free trial now.
All right, guys, I'm here with Liz Artinian and Steven Sugar. Thank you guys so much for being here. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, first off, I was wondering, what are your jobs, first of all, just in case anyone listening doesn't know what you guys do?
What is my job, Steven?
You're art director.
Oh, yeah, I'm the art director.
Yes, good to know. What does that mean?
I guess I do call out, so I decide what in the board is going to get designed and done.
Gotcha.
I tell Korea what they're going to use based on what we've designed and done.
Yeah.
And then I try to coordinate all the different ideas, thoughts, and opinions and notes into my daily routine, making sure everybody has the notes they need, has the artwork and reference that they need. So I'm sort of like this giant glorified art assistant. That's how I feel.
Okay, Stephen, you want to tell us what you do?
Yeah, sure. Liz, what is it I do again?
I think you're the design department lead.
Yeah, I'm lead background design. I help sort of do all the setting up for new locations and keeping the overworld of the show consistent. I'll work with our other background artists to make sure that the show aesthetic sort of is consistent through all our backgrounds, and that we have a sort of unified thesis as to what we're doing with the aesthetic in terms of the black and white design for our backgrounds.
Gotcha. Stephen, didn't you also help establish the design style of Stephen Universe?
Yes, I've been here since the beginning, so I was helping set everything up at the get-go, gathering our reference and setting up the sort of rules that we follow. And general like philosophies that
got
we
you.
Designed by.
So what are the rules? What are the rules? Tell us.
I mean, some of it is pretty straightforward stuff just in terms of setting. So things like, you know, we're on a beach, but we can't do like palm trees because we're on the East Coast. Sort of defining, oh, this is what the architecture has to look like. This is the stuff we have to reference to really keep it having a sense of place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also certain broader philosophies on like how we go about designing some of that stuff. We try to avoid overly kind of flat or graphic design solutions and lean toward something more formalistic and sort of observed however much we can, while still keeping it sort of cute and cartoony.
Right.
Now, what's really cool about the Stephen Universe style, I think, is the dynamic between the color style, which is trying to be really flat and graphic and tell the story, the color story, with as little, say as much as possible with as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of contrast between that and the design style, which has more depth and is a little bit more involved. And the way that they come together, I think, is what defines the Stephen Universe art style.
Yeah,
it's definitely
really,
very
like,
unique. Yeah.
Complementary sort of approaches. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the painting is really stepping on the toes of the line. They sort of function in two different ways.
Gotcha.
We talked about that some in the art book, right? Stephen Universe Art and Origin in stores now. Check it out.
Buy it immediately. So you're saying like the colors are more simplistic, right? Basically?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like simplistic wouldn't be the right term. I feel like graphic. I feel like powerful is sort of where we're going with it, sort of making a strong statement at a glance. And the black and white design style is a little bit more intricate and a little bit more involved and sort of...
Gotcha.
And you know, let's say our painting style was more intricate and more involved, it would be a totally different show. Like if we were sort of mirroring the sort of, direction of the design style. But we're sort of, there's sort of a bit of a juxtaposition there, which is, I think, what keeps it really fresh.
Right. It lets us do, like, designs that are very detail-heavy with, you know, lots of intricate line work, and then when it goes to paint, the painters can use much broader shapes of light and shadow to keep the composition strong and not have those areas of detail demand too much attention.
Right, so they're not just overwhelming compared to the characters.
Yeah.
I see what you're going for. I get you. That's awesome. So what kind of inspirations, you talked about like the East Coast stuff, what other kind of inspirations, fictional or real life, do you think play into the art style?
Well, early on, we were sort of getting a little bit from everywhere. We were looking to the real life inspirations. We were also, Rebecca and I were looking a lot at various video games. We were, at that time, I think, looking a lot to Zelda. I think early on it was Ocarina of Time, and as time went on, I started looking more to Wind Waker.
Same.
When we were doing a lot of the sort of temple and environment design, I thought a lot about like Shadow of the Colossus and that starting temple you're in, I thought was really cool. We were also looking a lot at, I had gotten a book on Orientalist painting, and we were looking a lot at like Jerome and other sort of painters of that movement for some of the fantasy like aesthetic that we wanted to get in. We were looking at Mobius a lot for some of those designs.
Mm-hmm. And I've been looking at Mobius too, just in terms of like continuing on with the Stephen Universe style.
And it sort of became a mishmash. And I think the thing that ended up being the through line between all of those inspirations was just that Rebecca always really allowed for the designers to have a lot of voice in it. So the consistency came from the fact that I was drawing that black and white, or Emily Wallace, our background designer through much of those early seasons, was doing that. So it was the personal voice that like brought everything together,
yeah,
drawing from all these inspirations. And so we had stuff that was, you know, some of it was taken from Mobius. We had when we did Bubble Buddies and we were under the ocean for the first time, we were just looking straight to like Mario World. So it's
the underwater,
like,
the water levels.
Yeah, yeah. It was like complete, you know, unrelated sources that we were just trying to pull together.
I get you. Yeah, that's really cool. So is it tough for you guys to, like, if you want to incorporate everyone's voice, like you mentioned earlier, is it tough to, like, sort of draw that out of people, like, especially when they're starting out on the crew?
I don't think so. I think every artist has a voice and is really eager to express it.
Gotcha.
And there's always this tension as an artist with this personal voice that you have and then trying to maintain whatever the voice of the show that's established is.
Yeah.
But I don't think it takes a lot for someone to say, like, oh, can we try this? Or what if we do this? Or can I change the cloud style a little bit to do this? And
right.
And there, somehow it always works. Like, I feel like we have margins that we try to stay in, but there's always room for experimentation. And that's been my challenge coming in as an art director for this season, working on the sort of things that have been established by previous art directors and by Steven, is trying to sort of interject my own voice into what has already been established and looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And just, it's sort of like these individual voices as well kind of push the style incrementally forward every season.
Right. So it's supposed to change. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it can't help but, especially when you have so many cooks in the kitchen, but there's always this sort of respect for the parameters and acknowledgement of what's there. I think that's sort of the challenge that every artist has and does really well. Like,
yeah,
it sort of comes naturally.
Yeah, I think flexibility is the key to it. So, you know, you don't want to, like, it is possible to break show style.
And you
don't want to do that. Like, we, you know, we do have sort of boundaries where it's like, oh, you know, this doesn't look like something that belongs in this world, and we'll have to rein it in or redesign it.
Right.
But I think so long as, I mean, from the get-go, we'd always sort of been pushing this idea of artistic growth. When I started on the show, it was my first real, like, in-house job. I'd done a little freelance background design prior to that, but this was the first, like, real studio job
I
had.
Right, just totally different, yeah.
Yeah, so I was pretty much an amateur at the get-go.
Like, oh.
And so it took a while to sort of grow into it. And that was also true of Emily Wallace at the time. And then we were working with Sam Bosma, doing a lot of freelance at that point, and we learned a lot from his early backgrounds and integrated that into our aesthetic. And then there were certain things that we learned through doing and I think sort of worked their way into his backgrounds. And now, like, we have Jane Bach and Mary Nash doing backgrounds, and they also have their own distinct voices that I'm learning from, and hopefully they are also learning from the things I'm bringing to the table, and we're all kind of, like, growing together with having a flexible show style that can accommodate what everyone wants to contribute.
Yeah, I find that really unique to the show and really refreshing.
Yeah, I feel that too. I feel like that was a thing with the...
I think there is largely an underestimation of how much you can push a show style and have it look like the show. Because when I look at a lot of the black and white, like, I think we keep pretty consistent, but I can look at my own backgrounds or Mary or Jane or Emily or Sam, and I see them as being wildly different through my eyes. Like, I can know who did what, but oftentimes, this has been throughout the show, when I send it to art direction for approval, no one will know who did what background, even though to me they look wildly different.
I'm starting to
tell,
though.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm starting to tell. But yeah, as long as the clouds look the same, it's all the show. Yeah, it's the clouds.
It's just the clouds.
Yeah,
it's all about the clouds.
There's a lot of wheel room in there to you know, change things up and still have it fit show style.
Right. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. So what I'm wondering is what kind of episodes, either types of episodes or specific episodes that have come out, which of them have been, like, the most rewarding to work on for you guys?
Well, we can't really talk too much about this season,
right,
which is the season, which is my first season on Steven Universe. And there have been some pretty epic and rewarding episodes we've done, but I can say that when we go to different worlds, when we go to dreamscapes, when mm-hmm. things start to get really surreal and go outside of the main sort of beach city.
It's
locale.
Not just beach city anymore.
Yeah,
right?
It's yeah. not just beach city. And so I feel like that's when we really get to flex our creative muscles. We get to do some really experimental things in color. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the designs can get really wild and surreal.
Yeah, I think it's tough. Every episode we do sort of feels at the time like the most rewarding one because it's
right.
the freshest and has the newest design ideas in it.
Right.
Definitely when we go to new locations, especially now that we're getting into Homeworld and other sort of more narratively infused settings, it provides a lot of new challenges and new spaces to grow, which is
right.
really exciting. I think going way back, maybe one of the most satisfying episodes for me was House Guest, because after...
Way back in the...
Way
like,
back,
that's season one, right?
Yeah, I think it was like the first episode technically of our like season 1B run.
Yeah.
For all of season 1A, like I was saying, it's like... we came to the show sort of not quite knowing what we were doing. And when we hit House Guest, after we had wrapped up all the difficulties of Mirror and Ocean Gem,
yeah.
We went back and revisited a lot of our early work in that 1A season.
Gotcha.
And sort of revamped it for 1B. So House Guest had completely redone interiors of Steven's house.
Gotcha.
A lot of the Beach City stuff got upgraded just to make it a tighter, more solved design, more in line with the way we were thinking then. And so seeing that, like, you know, get painted and looking between the first version and second version of a lot of those mm-hmm. locations is really exciting because we could just like see the growth that we've all had.
Right. Yeah. It was like a style shift.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, if you feel like every episode is more rewarding than the last one, you must be doing something right. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
awesome.
It's true. Like every breakdown, I'm like, oh, this is going to be epic. I'm like, oh no, this is going to be more epic.
So you're talking about learning and growing. What kind of stuff have you learned specifically? How do you think that like, talking specifically about the show style or generally about you guys as artists, what do you think that you've learned from the show?
That's tricky for me because I'm relatively new to the show.
Right.
And I've been in this industry for a really long time.
And I'm the opposite. I am not new to the show, but this is my first thing in the
I don't know if like the show itself has taught me something, but I feel like if I've learned from something out on Steven Universe, it's from the sort of culture of the studio and the sort of collaborative nature of the way this show comes together and just the spirit of the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I'm a much more laid back art director than I was in New York. And I think that's a testament to just how easy people are to work with out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, it took a while for me to like get a grasp on the flexibility of like, oh, maybe, you know, like it's okay if there's some inconsistencies between certain shots that make it a better background or a better design. It's okay for like the world to kind of shift as needed to tell the best story.
Right.
And it sort of had to be that way. So it was a learning experience sort of, you know, seeing these storyboards come in where we had to bend what we had figured out to match what the board said. But if we didn't, we weren't going to get the best possible storytelling. So
mm-hmm.
we would have to be flexible in that way. I think that was a really important thing to learn. It took about a season to like get a good grip on that.
Right. Just allowing yourself to be flexible so that you get the best possible
yeah.
product. Yeah.
I think also for me, it took a while to like learn confidence in my own backgrounds. For a long time, I wasn't really sure of the design solutions I had. And so I would do a background and a lot of it would be, you know, shaky and indecisive. I'd sort of go halfway on a design solution, but
mm-hmm.
then feel like, oh, I'm going to leave it a little bit open for interpretation, either by the painters or by other background artists, or,
right.
you know, I didn't want to set it in
yeah.
stone. And I think as I just did more and more backgrounds, I got more sure of the designs I was doing.
This is what I want. Yeah.
And so, you know, suddenly it was like we were getting shots where, or, you know, I was making shots where like I knew, okay, this is how this is going to look. And I knew if we got close to this thing, how it would look at, you know, a high level of detail, or how we would simplify it if we had to move away from it, how it would look from different angles. And those were all things that I think when you're feeling unsure of the design, that all stays very vague. Because yeah, you don't want to set that in stone.
Oh, sure. You make color figure it out.
Yeah. Because you rely on someone else's voice to make up for where you are speaking too softly.
Well, your stuff's really amazing. Everything I've seen you do is really good.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's so sweet, though. I love that. It seems like you guys have learned a lot, and that's really cool. I think that's what makes this show so special, you know? Okay, cool. Thank you, guys. That's all the time we have, but thank you so much for coming on and talking to me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And that wraps up this week's episode. Thanks to all the great Steven Universe designers for giving us such an in-depth look on the show's design. And coming up next Thursday, it's the music of Steven Universe. We're going to have show creator Rebecca Sugar back on to talk about what inspires her songwriting and ukulele playing. We'll also chat with Ivy Tran, one of the composers, and Jeff Liu and Jeff Ball, who also contribute to the music of the series. This is your chance to learn about the soundtrack and what it's like to write music and songs for the various characters of Steven Universe. And if you have any questions for the Crooniverse or for show creator Rebecca Sugar, please tweet them to me at MK Atwood or to Cartoon Network's official Twitter and use the hashtag Steven Universe Podcast. We'll try to answer as many as possible. And we're trying to get Rebecca to come back on a later episode to answer some of the questions herself. And if you haven't hit the subscribe button for the Steven Universe podcast, you can do that at Apple Podcasts or other podcast apps. Please be sure to leave us a review and 5-star rating while you're there. We appreciate the support, so before I say goodbye for this week, let me say a big thank you to Victor, Zach Jenkins, NJ Sully, and everybody else for leaving such great comments and ratings at Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to everyone for hanging out with us. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I will see you next Thursday.